Hey guys, this right here is going to be the PAD PVD primer episode. The primer episodes utilize the Pareto principle, which is basically the 80-20 rule, which is out of all the material, it will use the most important 20% of that material to yield you 80% of understanding of all the material. It's basically a very time-saving way of getting through the most important information that will get you 80% to the finish line. The other 20% is going to be on you to read your book and kind of get you the rest of the way there. Again, with the AI host, just be mindful of like the hashtag thing, calling things weird, like Vena Cava instead of Vena Cava, digoxin instead of digoxin, or factor XA for factor XA, stuff like that, you know. But regardless, the material is still very good, and I hope that you guys enjoy the primer episode of PAD PVD.
Hey, Sincere.
Oh, my God, some blood going. He's wearing it, too.
Welcome to the bed. When you get over to the bed, we'll go ahead and give you the story. This is all going to happen super fast. Welcome to the emergency room.
70-year-old female, single driver of a vehicle, appears that she went off-road into a ditch, rolled over her car onto a trailer, caved in the top of the vehicle, was caved in, so she was hanging out parked in front of the window.
She has a 22 in her left hand.
45 minutes of CPR. We can stop CPR.
6 over.
Welcome to the deep dive. We're aiming for a really high yield power up today. Think of it as cutting through all the noise, just getting you that 20% of vascular knowledge, the stuff you really need for like 80% of your exam success.
Exactly. Pure clinical gold. And today we're hitting three big ones, the most tested areas. Peripheral artery disease, or PA. Then venous thromboembolism, VTE. And finally, chronic venous insufficiency, CVI.
Okay, great. So let's kick off with the arteries, PAD. It's that progressive thickening, the narrowing, basically a supply problem, right?
That's it. Usually in the legs.
And the classic, the absolute must-know symptom you're looking for.
That's got to be intermittent claudication. It's ischemic muscle pain. It comes on with a predictable amount of exercise, that lactic acid buildup. But the key thing, the defining characteristic, it resolves completely, usually within 10 minutes or less, just with rest. Reproducible pain resolves with rest. Think PAD.
Okay, resolves with rest. Got it. And diagnostically, the key tool is the ankle brachial index, the ABI, comparing ankle systolic to brachial.
Precisely. You divide the ankle systolic blood pressure by the higher of the two brachial systolic pressures. That gives you the index.
Right. And once you suspect or confirm low arterial flow with that ABI, mm-hmm. What are those classic things you'd see? The physical signs.
Yeah, the visual cues. It's like the tissues are starving. So you see thin, shiny, kind of taut skin. Hair loss on the lower legs is common. And pulses, they'll be diminished, maybe even absent. Mm-hmm. And then you have the classic color changes. Elevation pallor, where the foot goes pale when you lift the leg up. And dependent rubor, that's that deep reddish-blue color when the leg hangs down. Gravity helps what little blood flow there is pool there.
That difference is so important. Okay, treating the claudication itself, beyond just recommending exercise, there are two specific meds that pop up, right?
Yes, two key ones for intermittent claudication specifically. First is celestazole, that's Plitil. Its main actions are inhibiting platelet aggregation and causing some vasodilation. Helps blood flow a bit better. The other one is cantoxifilin or Trentel. Its big thing is improving red blood cell flexibility, makes them less stiff so they can squeeze through those narrowed arteries easier, also decreases blood viscosity.
Got it. Celestazole and pentoxifilin. And finally for PAD, a really high priority nursing point.
Yeah.
After surgery, like a bypass or revascularization.
Oh, absolutely critical.
You have to be constantly checking color, temperature, cap refill, and especially those pulses distal to the surgical site, like very frequently.
Yes, because that graft can clot off fast, report any change immediately, no delay.
And one more thing, avoid putting the patient in knee flexed positions, right?
Yeah.
That can kink the graft.
Definitely. Keep those legs straighter. Life and limb saving stuff there.
Okay. So PAE is the supply problem in the arteries. Let's flip the system, talk veins, the big issue there, VTE, venous thromboembolism. includes DVT.
Right. VTE is the most common venous disorder and the cause. It really boils down to Virchow's triad. You need to know those three parts.
Okay, lay them out for us.
There. One, venous stasis, blood pooling, not moving well. Two, endothelial damage injury to the vein lining. And three, hypercoagulability of the blood itself being more prone to clotting. Think things like, you know, cancer, smoking, even certain estrogen birth control pills in women already at risk.
Right, the triad. So if you've suspected DVT based on those risks, what's the number one sign you look for?
The absolute classic is unilateral edema, swelling in just one leg, usually the lower leg or calf. Often there's pain, tenderness when you palpate, warmth, maybe even a low-grade fever, like over 100.4 Fahrenheit.
And the big worry, the reason we treat it aggressively.
Preventing the most serious complication.
Yeah.
A piece breaking off and traveling to the lungs, a pulmonary embolism or PE, that can be fatal.
Okay, which brings us to, like, a classic exam question or potential point of confusion, compression stockings. Good for prevention, but what if a DVT is already there?
Yeah, that's a key distinction. For prevention, great. Early mobilization, stockings. But once a VTE is confirmed, stockings are generally not recommended. The concern is they could potentially dislodge the clot.
Yeah.
So management shifts. It used to be strict bed rest, but now it's more about initial rest followed by early progressive ambulation along with anticoagulation.
Right. Meds like warfarin, heparin, Lovenox.
Exactly. Anticoagulants are key. And careful monitoring of those lab values, APTT mainly for heparin infusions, INR for warfarin, is crucial to balance preventing more clots against the risk of bleeding.
Makes sense. Okay, so from acute VTE, let's talk long-term venous issues. Chronic venous insufficiency, CVI.
Right. This is what happens often after a DVT or just from valves failing over time. You get ambulatory venous hypertension, high pressure in the veins when standing or walking. And the look is, well, it's pretty distinct.
Yeah, it really is. Those lower legs look brownish, almost leathery, and very edematous. That brown color is from hemosiderin staining red blood cells leaking out and breaking down in the tissue.
Exactly. And they often get venous ulcers, typically around the medial malleolus, the inner ankle bone. The pain with these ulcers is often worse when the leg is down in a dependent position.
Okay, so key nursing intervention for CVI.
Compression, compression, compression. It's essential for managing the edema, helping venous return, healing ulcers, and preventing recurrence. Bandages, stockings, wraps. But, and this is a huge safety point, you absolutely must assess for PD first. Slapping compression on a leg with poor arterial flow can be disastrous.
Yeah.
You need to check that ABI.
Critically important step, check for PD before compressing.
Okay.
And for symptom relief.
Simple elevation helps a lot. Getting those legs up above the level of the heart whenever sitting or lying down uses gravity to help drain that pooled venous blood. Avoid long periods of just sitting or standing still.
Perfect. So let's try to boil this down, the real high-yield differentiator.
Okay, quick synthesis. PAD pain comes with exercise, like walking, and gets better with rest. Think arterial supply failing demand. CVI involves those brown, leathery, swollen legs, and the pain or discomfort often gets better with elevation. Think venous drainage problem.
Excellent summary. Okay, here's a final thought for you to chew on as you continue studying. We know both PAD and CVI can lead to nasty ulcers, right?
Mm-hmm. Different kinds, though.
Exactly. So think about this. What are the fundamental differences in how you would actually manage the wound care for a slow-healing arterial ulcer versus a venous ulcer? Consider the wound environment each one needs. Something to explore further.
That's a great clinical reasoning question. Applying this core knowledge is key. Okay. Hopefully, this quick review helps you focus your study time. Go crush that exam.